Welcome to South Mecklenburg Presbyterian Church. We're an inclusive, vibrant faith community located in the Ballantyne neighborhood of Charlotte, North Carolina. We seek to worship, grow, and serve with intention as disciples of Jesus Christ and strive to be a place where all are welcome and made to feel at home. We are members of the Presbyterian Church USA. We are led by our pastor, Dr. Matt Brown, and our associate pastors, Dr. Whitney Baer and Reverend Lindsay Odom. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10:10 a.m. in the sanctuary or via live stream at smpchome.org.
Let us pray. God, who is with us, guide us by your word. Help us to again receive you in the flesh. May the promised one lead us in wisdom and truth, and may we be sustained by Christ, who is our constant hope. Sustain us in the hope of the covenant that you have written on our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes to us from Psalm chapter 22, verses 1 through 15. Let us listen now for God's living word. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you, our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They sneer at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb, who kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Our second reading continues with Psalm 22. Let us listen again for God's word to us this day. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. For the horns of the wild oxen, from the horns of the wild oxen, you have rescued me. I would tell of your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or harbor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him, future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. Friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God, find me here, where the sun is afraid to shine. Don't you recognize your faithful one? Haven't I known you since the days of my youth? Haven't I sung your songs in the ears of your enemies? Why then are you silent? Why have you forsaken me and left me to wail in the empty night? Why do you give me silence when I ask for the nightingale's song? O God, have pity on me and enter into the city of my pain. Hear my cry and come to me that all might know your faithfulness. From the icy coldness of the pit, I will praise your name. For like a shepherd searching for a lost sheep, you will not give up until you find me. Here in the gloom, I wait for the light of your coming. Then I will shout that my God is the God who does not rest until all are gathered in from the threat of night. Writer and fellow Presbyterian Ann Weems, who wrote those words, was a prolific writer of poetry about faith and church. Much of her poetry is bright and full of sunshine and rainbows. She wrote about rainbows a lot, in fact, in strawberries and Christmas trees and balloons and hosannas and many, many alleluias. I'm a big fan of her poetry and have used her poems in many a sermon through the years or as a devotion at meetings. She captures so well with words this life of faith we live, but maybe none more so than in her book, Psalms of Lament, where the poem I just read came from. This book is unlike any of her other work, and not one I'll admit that I gravitate toward often. It's raw and vulnerable and a challenge to read, but it came from a very honest and broken place for her. Anne lost a child, her son, when he was 21 years old. During this time of immense and unbearable grief, her good friend, professor and biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann, was very present with Anne and her family with both concern and care. One day he called and said to her that he was working on Jeremiah and wanted to ask her, "Will Rachel be comforted?" He was quoting Jeremiah 31, verse 15. "Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more." To his question, Anne, with little hesitation, responded, "No. No, Rachel will not be comforted. Not here, not now, not in the sense of being ultimately comforted. Of course, those people who are surrounding me," she says with compassion, "are doing the work of angels, and I bid them come. But Rachel will be comforted only when God wipes the tears from her eyes." Brueggemann then suggested that Anne might write some Psalms of Lament. Anne thought about it for a while, and eventually she did. When I was in college and attempting to figure out what I might do with my life, more specifically struggling with a call to ministry and being resistant to it, I found my faith floundering. And I had days, months even, where I felt completely lost where my faith was concerned. I'd never previously felt this way. God had always felt close by, but during this time, God felt very far away to me. I now realize in hindsight that God felt far away because I pushed God there. Initially so resistant to a call to ministry and the idea of being a pastor, I ran with gusto in the other direction. I couldn't see, though, this at the time, and therefore could only express that I'd lost my bearings, and felt even that I no longer knew how to pray. It was then suggested to me that I might try reading the Psalms. Other than Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," and Psalm 139, "I knit you together in your mother's womb," I wasn't very familiar with the Psalms, and what little I did know, I honestly didn't like. Most were morbid, sad, and depressing. Why on earth would that be a place to start for someone who had forgotten how to pray? I ignored the advice for a while, until finally, in desperation of wanting to feel on solid ground again, one evening, I picked up my Bible, opened it up to the middle, and began to read the psalmist's words. It became somewhat of a nightly ritual after that. I would read a couple of psalms each night before bed. I would try to make the psalmist's words my words, and it worked. I felt similar anger and frustration. I felt abandoned and forgotten. I felt lost and alone. The psalmist and I were on the same page. The psalmist's words gave voice to my own. Our text for today, the third Sunday in our Lenten series using the seven last words of Jesus, is Psalm 22, and the word for today is forsaken. Psalm 22 begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These words are the words Jesus cries from the cross right before he breathes his last. My God, why have you forsaken me?" When Jesus says these words, he is crying out to God, but he is doing so by quoting a psalm. In Jesus' tradition, in the community in which he grew up, the Psalms served as the songbook or prayer book for the community. Therefore, when Jesus uttered these words, those listening would have immediately known that he was reciting from Psalm 22, and further, they likely would have known by heart the rest of the words. Our devotional guide for our Lenten series of Jesus' seven last words says this about Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? These words are hard to hear, but they say more than they might appear. These words are a code or a cue for anyone who might have been near the cross listening, or for anyone who might be hearing or reading this story years later. Jesus uses these words from the beginning of this psalm, Psalm 22. The Psalms are the songbook, the prayer book of Jesus' community. And this song is a dialogue between two voices, one desperate, persecuted, nearly hopeless, the other confident in the memory that God has always been with him and his people and promises to always be with them. Because the songs were Israel's songbook, anyone who heard Jesus cry out from the cross would have not just heard the words he said aloud, but after that, this whole conversation. Like Rebecca said, if someone sings, "Jesus loves me, this I know," and trails off, your mind is likely to continue with the next line, "For the Bible tells me so." This is what we can imagine happening here. Jesus cries out, and his words give voice to his sorrow, his loneliness, his pain. They also hint that all is not lost, though, that God, who has journeyed with God's people through all of history, is still by their side, even in the depths of despair. Those listening would have heard both Jesus' words of despair spoken aloud and also unspoken, the psalmist's further words of hope. The first line of the psalm cannot be separated from the whole arc of its story. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh God, I cry to you by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and our ancestors, in you our ancestors trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved, in you they trusted and were not put to shame. It might seem strange to us, though, or at the very least perplexing, that someone capable of writing such words of anguish and despair could also simultaneously pen words of hope and comfort. About this nature of the Psalms, Walter Brueggemann writes, "Oddly enough, when the need, the hurt, the demand, and the venom are fully voiced, something unexpected happens in the psalm. The mood and tone of the psalm change. Israel's anger and protest appear to be spent, and pain characteristically moves to a positive resolution. The speaker is, at the end, confident of being heard and dealt with bountifully, and so ends in rejoicing and praise. It is not at all clear what happens that permits such a turn, but it is clear that such a turn belongs regularly to the pattern and genre of lament. It may be that the long protest is cathartic, and enough said finally suffices. Or it may be, as many scholarly readers think, that there was in the middle of the utterance a communal liturgical intervention of assurance that permitted a new posture of confidence, well-being, and gratitude." On such a reading, the poem is genuinely dialogical. It receives an answer that resolves the need of the speaker. Thus, the poem accomplishes something, and the speaker is, at the very end of the poem, in a very different place. Psalm 22 does this in a more back-and-forth sort of way. Throughout, there is a dialogue between pain and the reassurance of God's presence. Yet still, at the end, it turns entirely to praise for the length of the last 10 verses. Jesus said aloud, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But it can be understood that he wanted his followers then and us now to also know and remember the whole arc of the story, that God does not abandon us in the midst of our despair, that even when God feels far away, God is not far off, that although darkness falls, the sun will rise again, bathing the world in light, that the tears we cry, God will wipe away, that Rachel will be comforted. When my dad died, one of you gave me the gift of a gift card to Pike's Nursery. In the lovely card you wrote, you told me to go and get something that I could plant in my yard to remind me of my dad. It took a long time before I was ready to go and do that, but when I did, I knew exactly what I was going to get. I've always loved daffodils and tulips. I think the thing I love most about them is that they remain unseen, buried, their bulbs hidden beneath the earth, almost all year long, until out of nowhere, it seems, green shoots sprout up and quickly they grow, and before you know it, they bloom bright and beautiful, adorning the ground in an array of color. We already have daffodils in our yard, bulbs taken from Daniel's grandparents' house before they sold it a few years back. And each year when they bloom yellow and vibrant, they remind us of his grandmother, who passed away when Adeline was a baby. This year, in the January cold, I went out and dug through the hard red clay of our North Carolina soil and planted tulip bulbs in our front yard. I covered them with dirt and mulch and have since waited. Our daffodils started blooming and growing about a month ago, and not really knowing if tulips are on the same timeline as daffodils, I was concerned that I had somehow planted them wrong, or that maybe, hopefully, it was just that they needed a bit longer to grow. With great surprise, over the past week, the tippy top of green little sprouts have begun to push through the ground. It's been like a scavenger hunt each day between us to see if any more have sprouted. And one by one, they are. And all of this rain lately has seemed to speed them up a bit as the stems are reaching further and further beyond the earth now. The timing of this early spring could not have been better, as my family has just endured the painful anniversary of my dad's stroke. Once again, I can identify with the psalmist's words, "How long, O Lord, how long?" But I cannot tell you how much joy and hope those little green stems poking through the mulch has given me. I'll be honest, it seems silly to find such joy in something so small and so prevalent. I mean, spring does come back year after year, but it doesn't make it any less amazing or awe-inspiring. How does the creature say awe? How does the creature say praise? Jesus knew well the pain we share as finite and fragile beings traveling in this life. Therefore, we can trust that God knows well the pain we suffer. Jesus also knew tears and wept. Therefore, we can trust that God also knows the tears we cry. Tears we cry for any myriad of reasons, yet none too vast or too insignificant for God to notice and for God to care. The whole arc of the story is that in the midst of our despair, God is always present, bringing us a glimmer of hope. New life out of rock-hard clay, stars illuminating the dark sky, sunshine after days of clouds and rain, an embrace desperately needed, a hot meal, a cold drink of water, words of belonging, actions of love. God is always, always present. The Iona community in Scotland has a beautiful liturgy for the seven last words of Jesus. I'll close with a portion of the liturgy for today's word, forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? Lord Jesus, by your cry of desperate honesty, rid us of superficial faith, which is afraid of the dark. Not so that we might be justified pessimists, but so that we might discover profound joy. Give us, when we need it, the courage to doubt, to rage, to question, to rail against heaven until we know we are heard. We do not ask for easy answers to hard times. There are many who can offer these. We ask for a sense of your solidarity. That will be enough to let us know that we do not walk or cry alone. That will enable us to go through the dark and find light again in the morning. To God be all glory and honor, now and always. Amen.